Turn together with me now to Psalm 134. Psalm 134, we do come this evening to the very last psalm in this series of psalms that we have been considering, the Songs of Ascents, the 15th and the last Song of Ascents, Psalm 134. And again, let's now rejoice in faith to hear the Word of God. This evening, Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Let's pray together. Our God and Father, we pray to you now for the ministry of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. We pray, Father, that He might illumine this psalm to our understanding, to the understanding of our hearts, that, Father, we might respond to your word in true faith and in gospel obedience. We praise you, Father, that you have spoken to us. Let us now, by the enabling of the Holy Spirit, hear your words to us with the understanding of the heart, that you might work true faith and true obedience into your people for the glory of Christ Jesus, your Son. And we pray this in His name. Amen. Well, we have traveled alongside our pilgrim for quite some time now. We have come now to Psalm 134, the last and the 15th song of ascent. For 15 psalms now, we have journeyed with our psalmist across the plains and deserts of Israel, over the mountains and through the valleys, making our way slowly but surely up to the city of Jerusalem and to the Temple Mount to worship the one true and living God in His dwelling place. Remember where we began our journey. Psalm 120. In distress in the far-off lands of Meshech and Kedar, surrounded by lying lips and a deceitful tongue, surrounded by those who hate peace, surrounded by spiritual warmongers. It is from that point of departure that we set out for Jerusalem, the city of peace, the city of the great King. And throughout the songs of ascents, we have seen the highs and the lows of the pilgrim's journey. And remember that these psalms apply to us in the most intimate way as New Covenant believers. We are not on a physical pilgrimage, but we are on a pilgrimage nonetheless. It is not a physical pilgrimage to an earthly destination, but it is a spiritual pilgrimage, journeying as we are to a heavenly destination. And so, as we begin this evening, let us begin by remembering that about ourselves as Christian believers, that we are spiritual pilgrimage, journeying to a heavenly destination. We have no permanent home in this world. Like our spiritual fathers and mothers, we desire a better country, a heavenly one. And so our clothes are laden with dust and our shoes are worn from the miles that we have traveled thus far on this spiritual pilgrimage. And like all pilgrims, there are times when we become weary. You know this weariness, don't you? Weariness because of the sin that we see in the world around us. Weariness because of the great sin that we see in our own hearts. And weariness because there is so much pain and loss and difficulty in this life. All of the pain and loss and difficulty that we harvest from the poisonous and destructive root of humanity's sinful condition. And yet, for all of the weariness, our Lord is with us and He goes before us as we plod on, slogging through this passing evil age, trusting that the Lord Jesus will surely shepherd us to our final destination. And so there is a sense in which, as we come to this final song of ascent, Psalm 134 is the end of the line. Psalm 134 gives us a taste of our final destination. Our pilgrim has arrived in Jerusalem, and this is what he has found. Come, bless the Lord. All you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Here is the arrival point of our journey. Were you hoping for more? Are you disappointed? Or is this enough? Is this enough to satisfy the longing of your pilgrim's heart? My hope is that we will find in this psalm bountiful riches of God's grace and God's glory. Bountiful riches that are abundantly sufficient to satisfy the deepest spiritual yearnings of our hearts. Psalm 134 is a very short psalm, but it is also a very powerful psalm. It is a psalm that has been given to us to encourage us and to invigorate us as we continue on our pilgrim's journey from this age to the age that is to come. Our psalm has two stanzas. Verses 1 and 2 are stanza 1, and verse 3 is stanza 2. Again, two short and very simple stanzas that are yet full to overflowing with meaning and implication for the Christian life. Notice with me, first of all, the way in which this psalm is a microcosm of Christian worship. Stanza 1, the call to worship. Stanza 2, the benediction. The call to worship and the benediction. This psalm is a potent and concentrated presentation of that covenantal dialogue that lies at the very heart of true Christian worship. We bless the Lord, and the Lord blesses us. We bless the Lord, and the Lord blesses us the heart of the covenantal dialogue. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you to bless and to be blessed. There is an important word that shows up in every verse of our psalm and which establishes the fundamental theme of the psalm. And that word is bless, and the theme of this psalm is that of blessing. In stanza 1, it is used in the sense of our blessing God. And in stanza 2, it is used in the sense of our being blessed by God. To bless and to be blessed. The danger of this word is that it can be one of those Bible words that we've heard read and read ourselves so many times that it almost becomes devoid of meaning. And our eyes simply glide over it without very much reflection on how incredibly profound the word actually is. I don't think it helps that we sling the word about carelessly whenever anyone sneezes. It doesn't help the misunderstanding. A blessing is a profound concept, and it is a powerful concept. And both its profundity and its power come from the very nature of God Himself. We see in our psalm people blessing God, and then God blessing people. And so the first thing then to establish is that two different things are taking place in each of these respective transactions. In other words, it does not mean the same thing when people bless God as when God blesses people, although they are related. So let us first think of what it means when God blesses us. What does it mean for men and women to receive God's blessing? What does it mean that God has blessed us? Well, it means that God has graciously chosen to save us. But think about the implication of what that means. To be blessed by God means that God has graciously chosen to save us, along with the communication to us of everything necessary to guide us and lead us and enable us and protect us to the end of all things. In other words, to receive God's blessing is to receive the promise of God that He will do whatever is necessary and whatever it takes to save us to the uttermost. To receive God's blessing is to receive the promise of Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? And again, the promise of Romans chapter 8 and verse 39, that nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God's blessing us is His own divine promise that He will, by His own divine power, work together all things for good. That He will save us to the uttermost. Well, what then can it possibly mean for us to bless God? What does it mean for us to bless God? Well, simply put, it is to declare that God alone is the source of all of our blessing. Our blessing God is declaring Him to be the source of all of the blessings that we have received from His hand. In short, it is our praise of His name, our worship in response to the grace that He has poured out upon us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we read verses 1 and 2 of our psalm, we need to see that. We need to see what an extraordinary privilege belongs to us as Christian believers. In its original context, verses 1 and 2 are the voice of the worshiping Israelite calling out to the Levitical priests who are serving in the tabernacle. The worshiping Israelite is calling out to the priests and calling upon them to bless the Lord in the holy place. And as this translates into the new covenant in the context of the priesthood of all believers, these verses are a call then upon all of us now. They are a call upon all of us, reminding us that we are living stones of the temple of the Lord, that we are a holy priesthood, and that it is now our highest calling and our greatest privilege to bless the Lord. These verses remind us that Jesus, through His work, has made us all to be a kingdom of priests to His God and Father. These verses remind us that we all now have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Christ. And being this kingdom of priests and having this blood-bought confidence, these verses remind us that we now live to bless the Lord. We now live to bless the Lord, redeemed from sin and death by the cross of our Savior. This is the fundamental purpose of our existence. Again, our highest calling and our greatest privilege, that we might proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His glorious light, to proclaim Him as the source of all true blessing. This life for us as redeemed sinners is a continual drawing near to God through the blood of Christ, that we might bless Him in the holy places. It is a preeminent example of God's grace to us that we can bless Him in this way at all. How could it ever be that we could bless God in such a way that could give Him pleasure and gladness as we do so? How could it ever be that our blessing of God could bring to Him joy and pleasure and gladness? Well, it's a similar dynamic to one that exists in our own families. Often in our Sunday school classes here at Tri-Lakes, our littlest ones are given a picture with only black outlining of people and objects and shapes, and then they have to color it in and use their imaginations to give it color. And David, being 2 years old, when he shows me his coloring, well, let's just say that not all the colors are filling the places where they're supposed to be. But when he gives me eagerly that drawing, I don't reject his offering to me. I don't say, "Rubbish, child. Bring me a drawing when you're able to color in between the lines like you're supposed to." I rejoice in his efforts, and I delight that he was so eager to bring me this picture and present it to me. Well, the way that all of us are with our children in this matter is a picture of the Heavenly Father's way with us all in our worship of Him. Our blessing of His name in this life is far, far, far from perfect. But He rejoices in our sincere efforts, and He delights when we are so eager to present ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. And it is in this way that we can truly bring the living God pleasure and gladness as we bless His name, when we come to Him with a sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, eager to present ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice in response to His mercy. And is not that a wonderful encouragement to bless the Lord? Knowing that He receives our sincere efforts with joy, with divine joy and divine delight, as we are eager to offer ourselves up to Him in the name of Christ. Notice with me how close our psalm parallels Paul's words from the beginning of the book of Ephesians. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. And now recall verse 3 from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Paul expresses the same rhythm of our psalmist, to bless and to be blessed. We are blessed by God, and in response, we bless Him. And then He reinforces and reiterates His blessing upon us. This is the whole cycle of the Christian life, to bless and to be blessed. I remember the questions I asked at the beginning of the sermon. Were you hoping for more? As we come to the end of our pilgrimage, are you disappointed? Or is this enough? Is this enough to satisfy the longing of your pilgrim's heart? To bless and to be blessed. Let us understand that in the words of the Apostle Paul, as the Holy Spirit inspires those glorious words, that we are to bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Brothers and sisters, this is salvation. To bless and to be blessed. To bless the gracious God who has blessed us in Christ so abundantly and so overflowingly. Is this enough to satisfy the longing of your pilgrim's heart? Let it be enough. The world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly trying to tempt us to yearn after more, to yearn after the sinful pleasures of this passing evil age, to suggest to us that the blessing of God is not enough, that He has withheld from us things that we must seek after in this passing evil age. And we must resist those temptations. We must rest in the blessing of God, that this is enough for us as pilgrims, to bless and to be blessed. For it is in this simple cycle of being blessed and then living lives to bless the God who has so blessed us, it is in this cycle wherein lies all of the happiness and joy and satisfaction that God has created us to enjoy. Because this will be the pulsing rhythm of heaven itself, to bless and to be blessed. And it is in this sense that our psalm is a little rehearsal, a little foretaste of our eternal glory. Just as each of our worship services is a little rehearsal and a little foretaste of our eternal glory. For heaven will be itself an eternal call to worship and an eternal benediction. Heaven will be the eternal fulfillment and the eternal consummation of all that we give and all that we receive here in our worship on this earth in this passing evil age. And so our psalm is the promise of the living God that at the end of your journey, lives a blessing that is beyond worth and beyond all comprehension. And the blessing is simply this, that at the end of your journey, Jesus will be waiting for you. That He will be waiting for you with open arms to usher you into the eternal kingdom of glory. It is in this hope that all of the blessing of God resides in this life. That at the end of our journey, God will, far from forsaking us, He will Himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, be waiting for us to usher us into the eternal kingdom of glory. Our psalm is the promise of the living God that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and that you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, let us know the extraordinary blessing that we have in Christ. And let us know, and let this be enough, that as we travel through, as we make our pilgrimage through this wilderness age, may your blessing be all things to us. May it surpass all worth. And so, Father, keep us and guard us and protect us through this life, that we might come to that eternal worship service of glory. For it is upon that glorious age that Jesus is preparing for us that all of our hopes are set. Watch over us through all of the trials and tribulations of this age, and keep us, Father, for that blessed age that is to come. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.